And hello again, everybody, and welcome into the latest edition of the Gabriel Schuster Podcast. I'm David Schuster, and that man wearing red today, what did it say on that shirt there?
DC Defenders.
DC Defenders. That's Greg Gabriel.
I got to go to rehab after this. I got to have sweats on.
Okay, fair enough.
Unless you want my hat.
I love that hat. We ought to auction that hat off.
Hell no, I want it.
Anyway, that's Greg Gabriel. I'm David Schuster. And Greg, I'm going to start off real quickly. I'm just wondering, how many people you think turned off their TVs in the third quarter? You and I were texting each other last night. You threatened to do so. Did you end up turning it off?
Yeah, with 3 minutes to go.
In the third quarter or the fourth quarter? The
fourth quarter.
You could have turned it off a lot earlier. Yeah,
I know.
This is how bad it was last night. I mean, I'm a cynic, and you know, this is just playing into my hands when the Bears played this poorly, embarrassing themselves yet again on national TV. I think this is the third time they've embarrassed themselves, at least this season. They've done it plenty of times over the years. Are you familiar, Greg, with who the Iron Sheik is?
No.
Okay. The Iron Sheik is one of the all-time funny wrestlers, okay?
Okay. I've never been a wrestling fan. Even though I worked for Vince McMahon in the XFL.
Well, the next time you're in his presence, ask him about the Iron Sheik. Okay. The Iron Sheik, you know, had this persona that I think he's from Iran or Iraq. I don't know where. Anyway, he's
probably from West Texas. They just say
exactly. But anyway, he's on Twitter a lot, and he's really comical. And I don't know why he decided to chime in during last night's game. But the Iron Sheik said the Bears suck. I had to retweet that, and I had so many funny replies after the Iron Sheik said that the Bears sucked. He was one of many, obviously. You know, the final score wasn't as close as the game even was, Greg, obviously. 41-25, a lot of garbage yards and points by the Bears in the fourth quarter. But it boils down to the quarterbacks, as it always, or I should say usually does, Greg. And when you have a Hall of Fame, one of the best ever quarterbacks going for Green Bay, and you have a guy who, you know, I'm still not sure, Greg, and I texted this to you last night. I'm not sure that Mitch Trubisky is even an NFL quarterback. There's such a big gap between the two, and that's really what the game was last night.
Well, you know, first of all, you're talking Aaron Rodgers, who is right now the best quarterback in the game, and then Patrick Mahomes probably after that. But, you know, much as I hate to say this, you're going to go, huh, there were a few things he did better than he had been, but he is a one-read quarterback, as you and I were texting back and forth. Though both of those interceptions, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to say this. He had, before the snap of the ball, he predetermines who the hell he's going to throw the ball to.
Right.
And, you know, on the deep ball, no way that ball should have been thrown. Double coverage. Even when you looked at the end zone cam of it and saw that view, you never should have thrown the ball. But he threw, I think, you know, he's going to be open. He's got speed. I'm going to throw it deep. And it's an interception. The other interception, triple coverage.
Right.
And again, I think it was predetermined before the snap. You, as I told you last night, you watch his head, he seldom goes to a two or a three. Does it every once in a while. He can't say he never does it, but he seldom does it. And to be successful in this league, you got to be able to look off one and go to another. You have to be able to get to your secondary receivers. And for some reason, it's just processing, I guess, is the best way to say it. He doesn't do it. But I'm going to go to one other thing, too. Bad is the offense actually did put up some yards, 122 yards on the ground, 229 yards passing by Mitch. So it was a little better than before. But the defense was a total disappointment. And after the first quarter, the first thought that came into my mind is the MVP of the defense is the guy that didn't play, Akeem Hicks. Right. You know, he was out of the game. You had Eddie go. Actually, reality is all three starters on the defensive line were gone. Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, and I'm going brain dead. Help me here, David. Roy Robertson-Harris. Okay. And, you know, he's out with an injury too. So you're playing with three backups, and Green Bay was able to run the ball, control the ball, when you got Hicks in there, you're not, it's not as easy to run. And you know, last night that was a disgrace. And the one question I have, I'm going to get through this thing real quick. Why in the hell is 59 Danny Trevathan covering a wide receiver? Okay, we see that every once in a while in this defense where he is stuck one-on-one with a wide receiver, and I can't figure out why. Why does Chuck Pagano put his players in that position? That's a mismatch. And the other one, 24 can't play. You know, and you could see part of that game plan. They put 17 in the slot and wanted and so then 24 was going to be covering him, and that's a mismatch because he just doesn't have the speed, the quickness to cover top receivers in this league.
Yeah, you're talking about Buster Skrine,
right? Buster Skrine. Somebody who's close to the team mentioned to me once. He goes, that guy can't play, and he can't. He's a backup. He shouldn't be your third corner. He gets beat like a drum week after week after week, and obviously it shows up on tape because teams are, when you put your best receiver in the slot, so he's got to go against Buster Skrine. That's telling you something.
Well, we'll go through the game. And by the way, my list of going through the game is a lot shorter because I sort of gave up myself by the end of the first half, to be honest with you.
It was over at the end of the first quarter. What the hell?
Yeah, it was. It was. But Devontae Adams, who's having an all-pro season and might be, although I'm not so sure after watching Kansas City with Tariq Hill, you know, he's unbelievable, obviously. But you know, Adams was being covered by Trevathan and Skrine. And so I'm not so sure that that was Green Bay's philosophy of getting those guys to cover him, or the Bears just failed defensively. And we're going to hear also from Matt Nagy. He just had a press conference a little while ago. And I don't want to call it fake bravado, but he had a lot of bravado the day after, talking about his players that need to have more pride in themselves and show more fire and all this other stuff, of which I've been hearing now for years and years and years. It always sounds great.
Is this the cynic part of you coming out right now?
Absolutely, it's the cynic part of me. And I got a lot of experience doing this, by the way. But
I know. You've lived here a long time.
It's always great to have, you know, the fire the day after a game when you've lost. And by the way, that's five losses in a row. It just, I don't know, Greg. You know, Matt Nagy is sort of failing as the head coach, but even more so, you go further up the totem pole, and we'll talk about this as we go on today. Ryan Pace just has been putting an inferior product on the field. I don't know how else to put it. The offensive line is no good. The quarterback is no good. The decision he made about Mitch Trubisky 4 years ago now, and Mitch Trubisky has been in the league now for 4 years, still making the same mistakes he made in his fourth year yesterday than he did in his very first rookie year when he finally came on the field.
There's no question about it. I got to say one thing about the offensive line. Actually, the offensive line,
they were better.
They played better. The one thing they did, they put Ifedi out at right tackle. Ifedi started, except for a few games, started at right tackle for Seattle, playoff team year after year, for the last 4 years, and played commendable football. He's not an all-pro. He's never going to be an all-pro. But I think that was a good move, putting him out of tackle. And the overall run blocking was a little bit better. It wasn't the best. You still, you know, you're missing Daniels, but I kind of like they put Whitehair at left guard to replace Daniels, move Barge over to the right side. And I think Barge has experience on the right side when he was at Notre Dame. Overall, I think that's the best the line has looked in a while. Going forward, it would not shock me. Now, Fetty's only on a one-year contract, but it would not shock me that they try to re-sign him and keep him at right tackle, because it's harder to find a tackle than it is to get interior guys. And if he ends up after the next couple games showing that he can play right tackle, that might be a plus. Then you got to go in and you got to find somebody in the draft to play left tackle, because, you know, when you look at the money, and Bears aren't going to have a lot of money next year. Who knows what the hell the cap's going to be? But you got to grow your own. They got to get a tackle. which means in the first or second round, they're going to have to draft a guy who can play left tackle in this league and stick him in there, and hopefully he's going to be good enough to play. So in saying that, you got to have confidence that the front office will do that. But actually, when you look at who they've drafted on the offensive line, Cody Whitehair, Daniels, they haven't done a bad job there. It's some other positions where they've you know, it's been questionable what they've done.
Well, you mentioned Cody Whitehair was moved over to left guard. And actually, I believe, and they even focused on it, that during that 57-yard run by David Montgomery, that it was a nice block by Cody Whitehair that opened up the line of scrimmage for him to get into the secondary very quickly. Here's another thing before we get into the chronological view of the game. This is seven straight years, Greg. This is just really bad. And the last 4 years, obviously, this is on Nagy, but it goes further back than that. The last 7 years, the Bears coming off a bye have lost the game. That's bad. That's worse than bad. That's coaching, Greg.
No, that's not having your team prepared. And there's
that's
been
coaching.
Yeah, there's but really you can go to, well, in this case it's two coaches, maybe three. You can probably go back to Trestman on that one too.
Yeah, you can. I'm saying Nagy's only 4 years, but still.
Yeah, Nagy's in his third year. How long was Fox here? 3 years or four? And then Trestman before that. Yeah, it's unacceptable. You know, that week off should give you a breather and be able to, you know, you reassess things and you should come out fired up, especially when you're playing on a Sunday night game in front of a national audience. Anytime the Bears get, I hope they have no more national games for about 2 years, because take them out of the national spotlight, that they play all right.
All right. Well, even before the game started, I was sort of chuckling, you know, watching the game on TV here. They had Jim McMahon, and I'm sure you saw this also.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was
usually
perfect.
I don't turn on till kickoff, but I turned on right at that little clip.
That was pretty good by Jim McMahon. I'll give him that. And also, you know, if you notice, and the Bears were starting to get blown out fairly early in the game, they threw in the Gale Sayers highlights. I mean, whenever the Bears are bad, just throw in the Gale Sayers highlights in the TV package to make the Bears look better than they obviously are. I laughed at that, too.
Hey, you got to be, they probably prepared for that.
Yes.
You know, thinking this one's going to be bad. Hey, you can't say anything else. It was a disappointing game. To me, more so on the defensive side than on the offensive side. Defenses played good football throughout the season, and they gave up 41 points to the Packers, and it was like Aaron Rodgers was playing 7-on-7.
Yeah, his uniform was pristine clean at the end of the game. No grass stains, no nothing on him.
Yeah, except for the sweat, they probably don't even have to clean it.
It's true. All right, let's go through the game. The Bears win the toss.
He might not have sweat either.
Yeah, the Bears win the toss. Green Bay got the ball. And I'm going to be honest with you, Greg, I felt it right away. Green Bay was going to walk right down the field. And the Bears' defense – for the majority of this season has been pretty good. Now, they've given up at different times when the offense has not done their job, and then the defense, you know, I can remember an instance in the Rams game and a few other games where they just sort of caved in after a while because the offense didn't do anything. In this instance, the defense caved in very early, but that's also a credit to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's Picasso out there. I mean, it's not exactly like that opening drive where he was throwing bombs all over the place. He was just finding open receivers, and they were able to run the ball and take advantage of Hicks.
So you know, I think it starts with running the ball. They were able to run the ball right from the start, and that just set up everything else.
All right, so it culminated. It was a 14-play, 75-yard drive, 7:38 off the clock, and I think you've been seeing here on the screen the difference in the time of possession for the game, where Green Bay had the ball 15 more minutes than the Bears, because, listen, they could have done whatever they wanted all night long. But then finally, Rodgers connects with Davante Adams, an 11-yard pass, where they took advantage of Adams being guarded by Danny Trevathan. And listen, 99 out of 100 times, Adams is going to win that battle, obviously.
He is. But part of that, you got to give credit to Green Bay. I mean, that they put Davante Adams in a position to make plays, knowing how the Bears defensive scheme covers guys, so they have them in a position where they know there's going to be a mismatch. He's either going to be up against screen or he's going to be up against one of the linebackers, and he's going to win all the time. I said it before. I can't figure out why Danny Trevathan is ever in a situation where he has to cover either a speedy back or a wide receiver one-on-one. He can't do it. He might have been able to do it years ago. He can't do it now.
All right, well, Matt Nagy, and we're going to hear from him, like I said, in a little bit, along with Trubisky and also Allen Robinson. Nagy this morning called out his players. He called out his defense, too. And, you know, I think that was a shot not only at the whole defense, but also at Chuck Pagano. So we'll hear from Matt Nagy in just a little bit here as well. But we'll also take some of the questions. If people have questions, go ahead. Aldo will put them up on the screen, and we'll answer them as we go on, especially at the tail end. The Bears then get the ensuing kick. And this is where David Montgomery shined in that opening drive. He had that 57-yard run. He averaged 9 yards a carry for the whole game. Even without the 57-yard run, he was still 4.5 yards a carry on the rest of his carries for the rest of the night. But the Bears in the red zone, and this has happened more often than not, Greg. Cole Kmet, you know, it was an incomplete pass, could have been a touchdown. Allen Robinson, even though he caught 2 touchdown passes, you know, he didn't come down with the jump ball in that instance. And so they have to settle for the field goal while the game is still on the line. They didn't come through in the red zone when they were down deep.
No, and you got to, especially a team like the Bears. They cannot afford to get into the red zone and walk away with anything less than 7 points.
Well, speaking of 7 points, Green Bay gets the ball back after it's 6-3. And guess what? They come up with 7 points. And I just wanted to highlight the one play before Rodgers throws the touchdown pass. There was another bullshit roughing the passer quarterback, roughing the quarterback call on Bilal Nichols. Do you remember that play?
I remember it. And you know, I was going to tweet something out at the time, but that's protecting Aaron Rodgers. That there was no roughing on that call at all.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've gone over this too many times. And you know, it's been just as much against the Bears as it's been against other teams. It's just that I don't understand. They're just continuing to call those bullshit roughing the quarterback penalties. I just don't understand. Anyway, all right, so it's 13-3 at that point. Here's where Trubisky throws his first interception. Savage, what I did like before, you know how I feel about this, at least Savage, for them, looked for the ball when it was up in the air. You know, yes, Trubisky threw into double coverage in the end zone. He had no chance of connecting with Mooney. But at least in this instance, Greg, the defender, in this instance, Savage, one of the two defenders, looked for the ball in the air and came down with the interception.
Yeah, I know. It was great coverage. But again, when I mentioned it earlier, you watch from the end zone view, that ball never should have been thrown. And what's bad is that they had a little bit of a drive going before then, you know, and so – I don't blame him for taking the deep shot. You don't take the deep shot when the guy's double covered and he's not open at all. You got to find another receiver. And if two guys are on Mooney on that deep ball, there's got to be somebody open underneath.
All right. So that was the first of 3 turnovers by Trubisky. Yes, he had 3 touchdown passes, but you know what? If you have as many turnovers as you do touchdown passes,
that's a wash.
Yeah, he just had a bad night, of which he did. Green Bay gets the ball. Guess what? 3 possessions, 3 touchdowns. Again, Aaron Rodgers playing catch in the park. And this time he connects with Alan Lazar, who's all alone in the end zone. That looked like a blown coverage.
Yeah, I thought so for sure. That's the one you're talking about. He started out on the left side and then came across. That was a totally blown coverage. You know, because I played that one back about 3 or 4 times to say, okay, who's supposed to have this guy? And nobody went with him. That was on the right side of the defense. Total breakdown on the defensive part.
All right, so that touchdown makes it 20-3. I'm sure almost everybody in Chicago watching the game said, oh, gosh, what else is on TV at this point?
Turn to Netflix.
I thought the same thing, but listen, I'm a martyr. I got to watch this. All right, so then Trubisky, unfortunately, deep in his own territory, he fumbled the ball. Yes, there should have been 1, if not 2, face-masking calls.
Well, there were 2, but they didn't call either one. But it doesn't matter. He lost the freaking ball.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice here and not say the other way.
You can swear, Greg. It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, Trubisky did fumble. And listen, again, fourth year in the pros, you can't make these mistakes, Greg. That's why I told you last night, and I'll say it again, I'm just not so sure he's an NFL quarterback.
No, the biggest mistake, and I remember I sent you a text after this one, and it was in the second half. He rolls through his right, and he ends up getting pushed out of bounds 2 yards short, or getting hit right. 2 yards short of the original line of scrimmage. So they had a second and five. Now it's a third and seven. Get rid of the fucking ball. It's real easy. He's outside, you know, he's outside the perimeter of the tackles. All you got to do is throw the ball downfield. It's not intentional grounding. And he held on to it and gets pushed out of bounds. That was a dumb play. And that sums up his play right there.
All right. So right here on the screen, Greg, I don't know if you can see it. It says from Brummy Berry goes, what goes through Mitch's head in that moment just before he throws into double, triple coverage? You know, help me out here, Greg. You know, does he not see it? Because to me, I mean, everybody's got arms.
I said it earlier. I think he makes a predetermined call in his mind where he's going with the ball at the line of scrimmage. And that he was, come hell or high water, he was going to throw that pass. And, you know, if you look at it, again, the guy was never open. And somebody else had to be open. He never even looked at it. And there's too often that, and I'm saying this not just to you, saying that to anybody who's listening, all 250 of the people who are listening, just watch his head. And you will seldom see Mitch Trubisky look over here, look over here, come back to here. He doesn't do it. He looks at one guy.
You know
and
what?
That second interception, that was a gift for Green Bay. He stared down Mooney the whole, or not, that was Miller, I think, on that play. Stared him down the whole way, and three guys are there.
Okay. You know what I was just thinking as I'm recollecting last night's game?
That's another big word.
Every now and then I pull one out of the hat.
I know. Recollecting.
You know, because I saw Trubisky, you know, when he wasn't, you know, on the field himself, he goes and sits on the bench. You know what? He would do himself a big favor. He should watch Aaron Rodgers when Green Bay has
the ball. Darn right.
Because
you should watch the tape of him every week.
Because I remember on one specific play, and you could watch him all night long, Rodgers on one of his four touchdown passes, I forget which one, he threw to his fourth option. He looked left, he looked right, he looked into the end zone, and then he threw underneath. He had to scramble a little bit, but he looked to his fourth option. And that's what a professional quarterback does. He looks all over the place. Of course, he had a lot of time last night, too. That helps out always. But, you know, that is the mark of a great quarterback who can improvise on the field and look around and find an option that's not maybe initially open.
Well, you said something that brings something to my mind here because he had all the time. For the most part, last night, the Bears were rushing four people. Seldom did they blitz. And you know, I know why, because they think, okay, if we send five, then he's going to find the open guy, get the ball out of his hand real quick. But at the same time, you got to pressure that guy. And people have been able to pressure him. And four wasn't getting it done. So go to five and blitz a little bit more. Maybe you get a hit. Maybe he hits the big play. So what? But he also may cause a turnover, or he may fumble the ball because of the hit.
I actually thought that Pagano did change up his defenses a little bit, and he was rushing three, and he was rushing five at different times. But Rodgers is so damn good. And even though they lost their center in last night's game.
They lost him last week, too, against the Colts. Right. So he probably re-injured what he had hurt the week before.
Well, the week before against Indianapolis, it was his back. Yesterday, it was his knee.
Okay.
A lot of times when you have one injury.
Yeah, right, leads your body is acceptable. I know all about that.
Yes, I know because whatever. All right, so at the half, right before the half, Trubisky got a token touchdown at that point. Allen Robinson, 1 yard into the end zone. And you're thinking, okay, well, maybe, just maybe, you know, they score at the end of the half. They open up the second half with possession because they deferred to the second half. At least they might now have a chance to crawl back into this game. The numbers at the half, though, Greg, Trubisky 11 of 17, a touchdown, an interception, a fumble, 77.3, the quarterback rating. Rodgers 15 of 18, three touchdown passes, 135.9, almost 136. So, I mean, already, obviously, you were seeing the difference between two quarterbacks.
Well, see, Rodgers going into the game, Rodgers was pissed. He was going into yesterday's game, he was the leading all-time passer as far as passer rating in the National Football League. And he got passed twice since last week. First to Deshaun Watson and then Mahomes yesterday when Mahomes reached the 1,500 throw level or whatever he needed to get into the stat. And Mahomes' passer rating is like so much higher than Rodgers. Rodgers will never get him unless Mahomes stinks for about the next year.
Well, but the big difference is that Rodgers, and even he said this after the game, you know, what is he, in his 16th year or something like that? You know, let's just see what Mahomes' numbers are if he plays 16 years.
Well, don't forget, Rodgers didn't play at all his first three.
That's correct. I mean, he was a backup, obviously. But the point is that he's been in the league so long and his quarterback rating is so high, which is really amazing because at some point you're playing behind some, you know, an offensive line because of injuries or, you know, your wide receivers go down and so does your quarterback rating. So, you know, right now Mahomes is riding a wave because that team is so freaking good across the board. But let's just see where he is 10 years down the road, if he's even in the league 10 years down the road.
Let me tell you something. He's going to still put up the numbers. That guy's great.
Oh, he's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I mean, right now, if I had maybe one game, again, he's surrounded by some incredible talent. He's off the charts. Anyway, let's get back to last night's game. The Bears open up that, you know, we're talking about they might have some momentum opening up the third quarter. But this is where Trubisky, unfortunately, as you said, Greg, he should have thrown the ball away as opposed to running out of bounds. And that's a sack. And then he's sacked on the next play. So instead of having, you know, basically second or third and short, they're third and long. And then they had to punt the ball away. And then on his next possession, he throws into that triple coverage. So, you know, obviously, no halftime adjustments on his part. None.
No. And you know, they could put up the clip and he had the sour puss at the press conference after, you know, doing his presser after the game. I don't want to hear about it. Let him say, I don't know how to process at the line of scrimmage.
Really, that's it. Rodgers' fourth touchdown pass. Eddie Jackson was victimized on that one play. You know,
beats bad.
I mean, I don't find too much fault in Eddie Jackson's play, hardly ever. What did you see on that play?
He got beat, plain and simple. And, you know, he was put into a one-on-one situation against a good player, and he got, you know, guy beat him, put his foot in the ground, made a cut to the right, and Eddie got beat. And, you know, it was a tight end, too. You should never get beat by a tight end.
Okay, Jamal Williams scores on a touchdown run. That makes it 34-10, I think. Or does that make it 41-10? I gave up at this point. But the Bears tackling in the third quarter. And this is where your old buddy on TV, we talked about how he was diplomatic. He wasn't diplomatic at that point. He said the tackling was bad and that the defense was giving up.
Yeah, no. We've talked about this before. I think the defense, when the offense doesn't do anything, there's been a few signs during the year where the players just don't seem to have that effort. But, you know, where I didn't really see that as much yesterday, they didn't play good from the get-go. From the opening kickoff, they didn't play good. And that's why I made the statement earlier that the real MVP of the defense is Akeem Hicks, because he was out of there and the defense was an entirely different unit without him in there.
All right, so let me ask you from both teams' standpoint, when you know that the anchor in the middle, and I agree with you, I mean, I think he is the most valuable guy because he's in the middle of the defensive line. How much does that hurt the psyche of the Bears' defense overall? And conversely, Aaron Rodgers has to take a look and go, wow, that guy's not playing tonight. We can take advantage from our point of view. How does that affect both teams knowing that guy?
Well, David, it's like I said earlier, it's not just Akeem's out. You know, you could maybe, you know, play a game with Akeem out, but Eddie Goldman hasn't played all year, and he's a presence in the middle, And Roy Robinson Harris, he's been out for what now, 3 weeks, and he's done for the year. That's your whole starting defensive line. So you're playing with backups. I mean, Rodgers had to be licking his chops going against that group. But another, Urban plays good when he doesn't have to play a lot.
Okay.
And, you know, and he makes some plays. But when you got to put him every down, then you're going to find the faults. Jenkins, he's a guy, you know, you want 10 snaps a game, not 60. And they just don't have the – well, there's probably not a team in the league that can lose all three starters on the defensive line and play top football, but it's just – it's too hard.
Okay. The game was over, obviously. It's 41-10 going into the final quarter. The Bears do score 15 points in the final quarter, but those are garbage points. That's the old prevent defense where they're just going to give you – in essence, the middle of the field. And, you know, Trubisky, to a small credit, takes advantage. But, you know, Green Bay's taking their foot off the gas pedal at that point. So,
They got the game won. They know it. Yeah. They're not playing with as much intensity.
I'm putting very little credence into the numbers that he put up in the fourth quarter because the game was already over at that point. Anyway, why don't we hear from Mitch Trubisky now, right now? Aldo will cue this up. And, you know, again, he had the three touchdown passes, but he also had the three turnovers. I'm sorry, those turnovers, obviously, just cross out the touchdown passes because those turnovers, all three of those turnovers led to, you know, touchdowns for Green Bay also.
Right.
Hey, anyway, let's hear from Mitch Trubisky. Here's his thoughts after last night's game.
It was kind of hard to assess just because, I mean, overall, we were just playing from behind the whole time, which is not ideal. Got to take away the turnovers, got to protect the football. That's pretty much the main thing that I'm concerned with. I can't put the defense in tough spots. I can't take the offense off the field like that with sudden changes and just putting the ball in harm's way. You're just not going to win games or be in games when you turn the ball over, and that's on me. We battled. We battled. We put up some points. And we stuck together, and that's what we got to continue to preach going forward, is just sticking together, and we got to find a way to get one, and then hopefully go on a roll.
I don't know. I've heard the same drivel now his entire short NFL career, but he's not a rookie anymore, Greg, and he's continuing to make the same mistakes he did when he was a rookie or even after that. So I speak for too many people in Chicago. He's just not good enough. That's all there is to it.
You know what? I was hoping that the light would come on this year, you know, going back to when we started doing this in the summer. I was wrong. He's a backup quarterback in the league that can come off the bench and you know, maybe get you a win, play a couple games and do something. I think it could be a quality backup, not a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
And Nick Foles is not a starting quarterback. The Bears basically, well, they do. They have two backup quarterbacks on their roster. You're not going to win. And I hang that on Ryan Pace more than anybody else. As much as I find fault with Matt Nagy, I find more fault with Ryan Pace. And I'm sure you've listened a little bit, you know, on the message boards and talk radio this morning, Greg. I mean, you know, people want the scalps of both these guys, yet they're not going anywhere.
No, I think they both got – I can't speak for the McCaskies, but, you know, I worked there for a long time, and I just think that they're going to get one more year.
I agree. Unfortunately, I think that is the case. Now, here's the small savings grace from the Bears standpoint before we start talking about some other things here. The next 2 weeks, these are winnable games. Now, I'm sure those opponents will think that the Bears are a winnable game also, but you got Detroit coming up, and they're obviously – they just fired their coach and their general manager.
You've been calling for that one for, like, the last 6 weeks. You finally got it. Know what's scary? Why couldn't they wait one more week? Who knows? They might play good with Bevel being the head coach.
They might, but I doubt it. And then they got Jacksonville after that. And as bad as the Bears have been losing 5 in a row, Jacksonville doubles that. They've lost 10 in a row. So really, the Bears at home the next 2 weeks against two garbage football teams, they actually could get back into this with a couple of wins. That's the scary part for those people who want Nagy and Pace gone.
Well, how about this with Jacksonville? They fire the general manager yesterday, which already tells you the head coach is gone at the end of the season.
Sure.
He just didn't want to fire him. So because you know that the players know it, the coaches know it, where is the drive on these guys' part to even play a little bit better for the rest of the season?
And, you know, and you tweeted this out last night. That's four general managers that have already been fired in season. That's unheard of.
It's not even I mean, tomorrow's December 1st. We're in November, and there's four head coaching. Well, not officially. Officially, there's three head coaching jobs open, but there's four. Jacksonville's open, and four general manager jobs. I've never seen that. I've been involved in this league since 1981. Never seen four GMs fired during the season.
And Adam Gase is still employed.
Yep, he'll be next.
You would think he would have been already, but whatever. All right, let's hear from a couple of people. We'll get to Matt Nagy in just a moment, but let's hear from Allen Robinson. Robinson did have the two touchdown passes from Trubisky, but really interesting. He was asked last night, and you're going to see sort of a weird video of him upcoming year. He was asked, does it really make a difference who the quarterback is? Let's hear from Allen Robinson.
However, you know, people are performing and things like that. That's not in my control. You know, I was brought here to catch passes, you know, to try to help lead this offense to be, you know, a good offense and to make plays. You know, so each and every day when I come in, you know, that's what I try to do. You know, and I try to get better each and every week myself. You know, again, I mean, I'm obviously not a perfect player. I don't think there's many people that are in this league. But for myself, you know, I try to find little things each and every week that I want to get better on so I can continue to grow as a player each and every day and each and every week.
Very diplomatic on his part.
That was canned answer 103.
Yeah, it was. You know, he was productive last night. He had the two touchdown passes. He had eight receptions, 70-some-odd yards overall. And they still haven't signed him, Greg. What do you think is going to happen? Because this is like 8 weeks later now that we're still talking about this.
Well, you know, I'm surprised you haven't brought up. I guess, you know, I saw it on my favorite website, Pro Football Talk. I guess he had something on social media today that about going elsewhere next year. And right now, unless they show him the money, that very well could be the case.
Yeah, and maybe he wants to also. By the way, your buddy was on part of the broadcast last night, Florio.
Well, he's on every week with NBC. I don't know how he has a job, but he does. I'm convinced. I tweeted it out. I think it was Saturday. This guy, he makes his money commenting about the NFL, but there's nobody in the world that wants the NFL to fail because of the pandemic more than Mike Florio.
Yeah, but he's
almost got this, like, I want to have this I told you so type attitude.
I don't know. That was sort of bite the hand that feeds you because he makes money off the league. So
that's his MO. His MO is, you know, they shouldn't even be playing.
All right, let's hear from Matt Nagy now. He was sort of, I don't know, calm, if you will, after last night's game, and he had his press conference a little bit earlier this morning. Anyway, here's a sort of as close as you can get to a rant from the head coach. Here he was this morning talking about his team.
I feel like offensively yesterday in the run game was a lot better. I thought protection was a lot better. I thought our offensive line played their ass off yesterday. David fought his tail off and running hard. And so that part to me is good. But, you know, again, this has to be we have to be able to play a game where the three phases play together. And our defense knows when we talk through this stuff how important they are to how we're built and what they mean to us and how they get stuff started. And so when we go out there on the field, we expect a three and out. If not a three and out, we expect a punt. That's just who we are. And when that doesn't happen, you know, it digs us in a hole. And so we're fighting and fighting and you get a deficit like that. And it's just hard to overcome. And oh, by the way, it's even more difficult when you're playing Aaron Rodgers. So we get that. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride, have a freaking sense of urgency, know where we're at, have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week is that.
I don't really know how to respond even to that. I mean, first of all,
it's to get everybody off his back and you know,
I don't think he's getting
Robinson was canned answer 103. That was 104.
Yeah, I guess that's all true. Listen, I mean, you have to wait until after five losses in a row to take off on your team. You could do it after one loss in a row, to be honest with you. You know, and here's the deal, Greg. I mean, they've lost five in a row now. They're 5-6. We talked about this earlier in the season. By the way, I'll win my bet with you just to break even with you, Bob, on this one. But they really should be 2-9. You know, three of those five wins early in the season were really lucky because they were playing garbage teams. I mean, the Detroit game, obviously, if the kid didn't drop the pass in the end zone at the end of the game, they lose that game.
Yeah, but that, David, I disagree with you because that's the shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah, I know.
They won the games.
It is a net result league. I get it. I do understand that. Trust me, I do. I'm just saying all the signs were there for cynics like me or people who really see reality that this was not a good football team even when they were 5-1. And now they've lost five in a row. Conversely, like I said, they got two winnable games. They should win both the Detroit and the Jacksonville game upcoming.
Don't count on it.
7-6.
Don't count on it.
Well,
Detroit scares me because they Bevel's auditioning for a head job himself. He's been brought up as a head coach before. They're defensive, but. You know, with Patricia gone, what's going to happen with the defense? And that's going to be probably one of the keys that can help the Bears it's really his defense, and now he's gone.
Well, the quarterback likely will be Trubisky, even though Matt Nagy would not come out and say that in his press conference a little bit earlier today.
I think Foles is still hurt. Otherwise,
yes.
Yeah, I think that statement was made because he knows Foles won't be ready to go.
I agree 100% on that one. So anyway, we'll see what happens, and we'll preview that game later on in the week and have a better idea. The league right now, today is Monday, the league today and tomorrow Tuesday is not having any organized sessions in their practice facilities because they're trying to get over as best they can the whole COVID-19 situation. And who knows what's going to happen in the short or long run with that. So we'll just have to wait and see. But we'll have another podcast later in the week, likely on Thursday, where we'll preview the game upcoming on Sunday. Greg, let's go through the league. There were some interesting games yesterday. I'm sure you watched a bunch of them. I know I did yesterday. The Minnesota-Carolina game was a pretty interesting game.
I didn't see any of that one. I was watching, because that was the early game, I was watching my second favorite team, Buffalo. So I didn't see any of that. I know Carolina was up big early.
They were.
And then Minnesota came back, and that kind of surprised me. But Minnesota's been playing better football over the last 5 weeks.
Better football, and Kirk Cousins, who we both have taken shots at, you know, at different times. You know, at other times he's played pretty well. He played well yesterday. He had three touchdown passes. Carolina had a chance to win the game on the last play on a field goal. And there were a couple of last-minute field goals that won games yesterday. But Carolina came up short, so Minnesota wins the game. Really interesting, and there was an instance in that game yesterday, Greg. You'll never see this ever again. I saw something that you'll never see again. Jeremy Chinn, two defensive touchdowns on back-to-back plays.
You'll never see that again.
You'll never see that again. So that was sort of interesting right there. Anyway, let's go around the league. Kansas City and Tampa Bay, that was a late game. I'm sure you saw a lot of that game.
I watched some of that one, and I'm just going back. Every time Tampa Bay loses, I like it because I just think they were one of the media wanted to gift them
the offseason
Super Bowl appearance. You know, they won the offseason. Any team that wins the offseason always loses during the season. They got five losses now. I think they're an average football team. And what's happened lately is, and it's funny, is Bruce Arians been throwing Tom Brady under the bus.
Yeah.
Two weeks in a row. How long is that marriage going to last?
Well, the coach will be gone because I think Brady's still going to stick around. So Arians will be gone.
Brady's what, going to be 50 next year? I mean, he could be gone.
He says he wants to still play.
That was going into the season.
By the way, he's definitely showing his age finally. He had two interceptions again yesterday. He had touchdown passes, but, you know, he had interceptions. Patrick Mahomes is amazing. 462 yards, three touchdown passes. Tyreek Hill, is he the fastest wide receiver in football? They say he is.
I mean, he's probably a, when he was coming out, he's probably about a 10-2 or 10-300 meter guy. He can motor.
you know, during the game, and they were right, they kept criticizing Tampa Bay's defense because they were covering him one-on-one, and he just flew by his defender each and every time. Yeah. He had 200 yards of receiving in the first quarter alone.
Well, that takes me to a college game I was watching on Saturday, and I don't know, it was on CBS Sports Network, University of Buffalo. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Their running back had 415 yards and 8 touchdowns in the game. He had over 200 yards in the first half.
Okay. What kind of size does this kid have? I'm curious because I don't know that.
He's like Tariq Cohen. But I doubt he's 5. They list him at 5'9". I think he's, on a good day, 5'7", maybe 5'7¼". But he's big now. I mean, he's, for a short guy, he's about 195 pounds. He runs pretty good. Real, real strong. Got great balance. But, David, this guy, last two games, 12 touchdowns, 725 yards rushing.
Give him the Heisman. Tennessee beats Indianapolis 45-26. Indianapolis's defense, you know, that's been a staple for them this year, but it wasn't.
Oh, God, they were struggling. And I thought the rushing game was going to struggle because, you know, Taylor got put on the COVID list on Friday, and it was their defense. Their defense totally let them down.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is really, really good. 178 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tennessee is one of those up and down teams. When they're good, they're really good. But they've also been proven, you know, at different times not to be so good. They weren't so good against the Bears either. But again, when Henry is running the ball like he is, they're really tough to beat.
Yep.
This game was a surprise to me. You know, not that Atlanta won the game against Vegas, because Atlanta has played better ever since they fired their coach. But Vegas, I mean, were they hungover 43-6? What happened there?
I know. I looked at that score. I didn't watch any of that game, and I looked at that score, and I was like, holy shit, where'd this one come from? It was kind of like Montgomery's 57-yard run on the opening play. Where'd that come from?
Right. All right, your team, Buffalo, they're now 8-3. They beat the Chargers 27-17. I'm sure that made you happy.
Yeah, Chargers, I'll tell you what, that's going to be another job that's probably open. And I feel bad because Pep Hamilton is coaching that rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert, and just doing a great job with him. But the head coach just makes these blunders that you just wonder about. How the hell is he a head coach? They got, you know, they had a situation near the end of the game where if they score quick, they could have tried it onside. Probably still going to lose the game, but at least could have made it closer. They get down. They got no timeouts left. They got a first and goal on the 2-yard line or 3-yard line, and there's like 30 seconds left in the game, 25 seconds left in the game, and he runs the football. How do you do that?
I don't know. Well, like you said, he'll be gone. Cleveland 8-3. Their coach might be coach of the year just because Cleveland is going to, you know, probably win that division, or at least be a playoff team, I should say. They beat Jacksonville 27-25. Got to give Mike Glennon credit. He played pretty well. I'm shocked that he played well. He lost, but he played pretty well.
He put up some good numbers. I didn't watch any of that game, but he did have some decent numbers.
The Giants at 4-7. They're, you know, that division is so bad. It's interesting, to be honest with you.
Giants almost gave that game away at the end.
Yeah, they beat Cincinnati. New England gets a field goal, the last play of the game, a 50-yarder. You're right about Arizona. They're not really that good. And they've lost a couple games in a row, and they might be falling out of the playoff chase here. Miami beat the hapless Jets 20-3. Again, I don't understand it. Adam Gase is 0-11. I just don't get it.
I think he's going to be there for the whole season. They probably think there's nobody on the staff they can give the job to, you know, to finish out the season.
All right, two late games, San Francisco, and I love when Robbie Gould plays well. I've always been a Robbie Gould fan. 42-yarder to win the game at the end of regulation. They beat the Rams 23-20. The Rams are another one of those up-and-down teams. And then New Orleans beat Denver 31-3. You felt bad for Kendall Hinton, who comes off the practice squad as a wide receiver. He plays quarterback. He had a QB rating in playing of 0. It was sort of like my grade point at different times during college.
One completed pass. How about this? What kind of surprised me is how did that game stay on the betting board?
I don't know.
situation like that, they usually pull the game because everybody had a bet in New Orleans on that game, and it was easy money.
Yeah, well, they took it off for a while. I'm not, the biggest gambling, aficionado, but they took it off for a while. Then they put it back on, and the point spread kept going up by the hour. I think by game time, it was like 16 points.
That still wasn't enough.
I still would have bet New Orleans. They won the game 31-3. The league means business. They're, the quarterbacks in that room, they took their masks off, and Denver wanted to push the game back at least until tonight.
Well, here's the thing. I got this. If it's the team's fault, if they got a COVID problem and it's the team's fault, and this thing and the Denver thing goes back to contact tracing. It's not that these guys had COVID. It's that they were in contact with somebody that had COVID.
Right.
And what the league has told the teams, if it's your fault, tough shit. You're playing the game with what you got. And that's what they did to Denver. And that was basically an example setter for the rest of the league. Understood. Look what we did to Denver. And it could be the same thing. Baltimore's supposed to play tomorrow night. They're going to be playing with nobody either in a big game against Pittsburgh.
Yep. All right, college ranks real quickly. The top of the totem pole is still the same. Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Clemson. Ohio State, though, one more game that's canceled, and they're out of the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, they're out of the playoffs with one more game being canceled.
Yeah, listen, maybe Jim Harbaugh becomes a hero at Michigan if he decides, use COVID as an excuse to cancel the game. That'll knock Ohio State out of everything.
Yeah, he'd probably do that. It wouldn't shock me. I'm not a big Harbaugh fan.
So. I know you're not. Indiana moves back into the top 10. Northwestern, credit that they came back. They played pretty bad in the first half. They came back, and then unfortunately they succumbed and they fall to number 16. Although they're going to be in the Big Ten championship game already. I think that's already locked in.
Is that for sure?
I think it is because I think Wisconsin has already been knocked out, and I think they were the only team that could catch Northwestern. I might be wrong about that.
Well, they beat Wisconsin if there's a tiebreaker. So
right.
But, the disappointing thing with Northwestern on Saturday is that that's a team, very well-coached team. We've talked about this before. They seldom beat themselves. If the other team is better, so be it. But they don't beat themselves. Saturday, they beat themselves. That was their own mistakes that cost them the game. And that's just something you don't see that often.
No, you don't. They fell behind. I think it was 17-0, if I'm not mistaken, in the first half. They came back to take the 20-17 lead. But then, unfortunately, they gave up a couple of late field goals and lost the game by three. I'm still a big Pat Fitzgerald fan.
No question.
And listen, he's there for life if that's what he wants. And I think he does. And kudos to him. Anyway, early look at the game against Detroit for the Bears upcoming on Sunday. What are your thoughts?
I don't have any. I want to, in all honesty, I want to see what's going on in Detroit. I tell you, an interesting statement. The owner, Martha Ford's daughter, now is like considered the owner, and she made the statement about Stafford. Well, we'll let the next coach decide that. And that was really, really an interesting statement. Of course, I've never been a Stafford fan. Puts up great numbers, but he never wins anything.
Right. Again, if there were any questions that anybody had for Greg or myself, Aldo will put them up on the screen right now. Here's one right now. Greg, would you keep Mitch in or go back to Foles if Foles is healthy?
I'd go back to Foles if Foles is healthy. And for the reasons I've said all day, Mitch is more athletic, but he just can't process, and he stares down receivers, the turnovers. Foles is a better quarterback.
It's really interesting, Greg, because he said he was really deflated when they took him out. If they were to bench him after one game again last night.
Yeah, but he only came in. He came in because Foles couldn't play. Not because he beat Foles out.
No, right? I understand that. But I'm just saying he was so deflated when he was yanked in that Atlanta game. If they yank him again for the same reasons, because he's just not good enough, which he isn't, then obviously you lost him for good. But I don't think the Bear fans even care about that.
No, he's out of contract. you know he's not going to be here next year.
Right. All right, here's another question that's up on the screen. Do you think that we'll see Bray at all this season, even though that would mean that the Bears have basically thrown in the towel?
The only way I think you see Bray is if the other two are hurt and you can't play.
Okay, and then here's another question from Doug. He's asking, can the Bears finish 10-6? That means no. They would have to. Yeah, no. I'd lose my bet if that was the case.
No.
I'm going to predict right now, though, Greg, they do win their next two games.
Which makes – that's 7 wins.
That gets you to 7-6. Then they're on the road for a couple of games. They – go down to Houston, and Houston's all of a sudden playing some pretty good football.
Houston's playing good. They got to play Green Bay again. They got to play
Minnesota
again. The Minnesota game is up in Minnesota. Green Bay's here. I don't know who the last game is, but the other game is in there. But no, I think at best, I thought they might be a 9-7 team, maybe 10-6 at the beginning of the year. Wishful thinking. No, they're going to be 8-8 at best.
All right, so if they go 8-8, you're saying Nagy and Pace are both back.
I just my experience with the organization, I'd be surprised if they're gone. But hey, you never know. I mean, it's just you can't keep. There's two ways you can look at this. One way is saying, okay, you're just putting off the inevitable. If they're not gone this year, they're going to be gone next year. So you're setting the team back. Okay, I get that. And the other is, given the circumstances of this year, is it fair to let them go because of that? And, you know, they got 2 years left on their contract. I just think they're going to get one more year. But regardless, the first thing they got to take care of the quarterback situation. But I don't care who the quarterback is. You got to have an offensive line. That is, in my opinion, priority number one.
I agree.
Going into the offseason.
I think they're both back next year. I think we're having the same conversation at the same time next year, unfortunately. Here's another question from one of our faithful listeners, Brummy Bear. He's asking, Greg, would you offer players up for trade for better draft picks? And he's talking about Mac or Roquan, Jackson or Fuller. Would you?
No, and no.
Okay.
The whole idea in the National Football League is to acquire talent. You're giving up good players. You know what those players are. They're good players. Why would you give them up for something that you don't know what you're getting in return?
I agree.
If you're getting it done. No, you don't. You're trying to get good players. You got the good players. You keep them, and you try to get more good players.
100%. All right, here's another one from Doug. Would you pursue the Jets, Prescott down in Dallas, or just draft a quarterback?
Darnold, he's worse than Trubisky.
Yeah.
That guy is another number two pick in the draft. He's terrible. So, no, I wouldn't give a 7th-round pick for Darnold. It's terrible. So, on the other hand, if what was the other one? Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson, I take it.
No, he's Deshaun Watson's under a long-term contract. Yeah, so.
Prescott down in Dallas is obviously coming off that injury.
Well, you got to know. I'd go after Prescott, but you got to know what the injury is. And you know, what's the prognosis on the injury? If that's all good, damn right you go after him.
Okay. Anyway, I think that's it from our questions from our listeners. Greg, I think that'll do it for our podcast today. Very disappointing. And you know, the best thing that happened in last night's game is that they're not going to be on national TV anymore this season. I mean,
and I hope they're not on national TV next year.
The way they played this year on national TV, I think it's almost a given that they will not be scheduled for national TV.
The only thing is that they always get it's always good ratings when the Bears play on national TV, and that's why one of the reasons they're put on. But they don't deserve to be, and the team just doesn't play as good in that national game.
No, they don't. All right. Anyway, Greg, that'll do it for us today, but we'll be back on Thursday. We'll preview the Lions game against then. In the meantime, you take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later.
All right.